Welcome back to We Have Thoughts. We're towards the end of our Conversations with Oscar series of 2022. We're talking all the best pictures, and this week we're talking Licorice Pizza. It's directed and written by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Alana Haim and Cooper Hoffman. It has been nominated for Best Picture, Best Directing for Paul Thomas Anderson, and Original Screenplay for Paul Thomas Anderson. And we're going to tell you what we think. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
Let's get into it.
All right.
Okay.
So you guys who had seen this before?
I saw it in theaters in January, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I saw it a couple days ago, so I'm still fresh in my brain.
I forgot that you guys went to go see Tragedy of Macbeth, but then you had to go back home, and so you just saw that one.
Yeah, right. I did a double feature.
For Tragedy of Macbeth getting a best picture nomination. All right.
Yeah, fucking rude.
There's I truly do love taking advantage of the discounted Tuesday prices, yeah. $5 movie tickets. So if I do that, I try and do a double feature if I can.
Believe me, if I have to get up so early on Wednesday, I do it too. But it's not. I mean, like I said, I could do it, but I need to be responsible enough.
You could go to like the very first showing of the day at like 10 o'clock, and then like
the 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, who wants to start?
I'll start with that. I saw this trailer probably October, November of last year, and I was really intrigued. The trailer was so great. The great David Bowie song playing. Yeah, it was David Bowie. And for a second, I was like, no, it was Elton John, but it was David Bowie. I loved the name Licorice Pizza. Like, what the hell is that?
It's just cute and quirky.
It looked super cute. Them running all the time. I was like, this looks like a me movie. I am so excited. I have been like, I was following when it was going to be available here. And then I went and saw it. And I was sitting at the very top row at the very end so I could make like a quick exit. And in the middle of the top row were these two obnoxious film bros who were belching throughout the film.
Joy like, taught them.
Yep.
I mean, Joy taught me as well, but I don't do it that loud in public.
There's a time and a place. Okay.
And they were like eating so loudly and guffawing at the most inappropriate parts that we'll get into. And it almost made me walk out because of like the mixture of the combination of them and the story. Yeah, so I don't like it as much as I thought I would. What about you guys?
I have to say that I agree because I was like, you know, me and Anna love a rom-com, love a cutesy little movie. And so, yeah, saw the trailer, felt the same way. I was like, okay, this is going to be adorable. In my head, prior to watching the movie, I was like, they look the same age. Like, I don't know, maybe I wasn't like looking well enough or like really paying attention, but they look the same age. And then literally like 5 minutes into the movie, not even 5 minutes into the movie, I was like, oh, they're definitely not the same age. This is weird. And so that kind of like tainted the experience as a whole.
For sure.
Crystal.
Do you want me to start with what I liked about it or what I didn't like about it?
Whichever you feel most passionate about.
Cameron, I wanted you to tell me what to do. Okay.
Tell me what the part you didn't like.
Okay.
Let's trash it. And then we'll be like, oh, but I did like this.
But we'll build it back up.
So let me just explain to our two-person audience that.
One and two right here.
I feel the need to remind people that a relationship between an adult and a minor has never been a good idea, will never be a good idea. And putting in your movie, romanticizing that relationship is wrong. I don't understand why people justify like, oh, well, it's an adult woman, so it's okay. Or she's really immature, she has the same mentality as him. Or they're gonna mend for each other for later. Like, no. It's still wrong. It doesn't matter if it doesn't even matter. There's no reason to justify this. Another thing too, like with Paul Thomas Anderson, maybe he wanted to keep that age gap, which is weird. Just make them their actual ages. Cooper Hoffman is 19 or something, and I think 20, and she's 30. Fine, that's 10 years. Leave it at that. Why make it 15? Why? There was no reason for that. If you wanted to have a love story that she's questioning who she is and not really sure where she is in life, and he's a little more confident in himself, but he's still struggling with the child star thing, great. I love that idea. Make them of legal age. Him being 15 made no sense to me. And it's disgusting that this is like praised by people so like everywhere. This is a great love story. Oh, the, I'm so glad they kissed in the, what? I feel like a little crazy because I'm reading all these things that are like, oh yeah, that was a bit, no, but it's okay. I'll look past it. I'll justify it because it's like, I've read some thing where it was like, they compared it to, they suspense their belief, kind of like, oh, watch like a fairy tale movie. It's the same kind of thing. I just kind of ignore the ages. What?
Gross.
That's there are certain things that you can't suspend.
All the time. And I guarantee you, if it was a male and a female swapped and he was the older and she was the younger, it would be disgusting. Well, still it's disgusting, but it wouldn't even get a chance to redeem itself at all. And just because you're married to Maya Rudolph, Paul Thomas Anderson, does not mean I'm allowing this. Okay. And then you should be okay. You shouldn't be okay with having a scene in making fun of someone's accent. Like, why is that even funny? Like,
ooh.
I have so many thoughts. Like, he said something about like his family member or some shit also goes through that. Okay, but like, then if you're gonna make a commentary on it, then like make a commentary on it. Just don't like put this in a movie that has no substance to the story. It doesn't make any sense. Like, his choices for what he did didn't serve the story. And then there's not even really plot anyway. It's kind of like white people vibing, really. Like, it didn't really have a structure. I'm just like, okay. And I'll save that for my things that I like, but like, I just, I can't get over why people are so, like, this is the best movie of the year to some people? How? Are you so in love with the 70s that you just want to love this movie so much?
I think the biggest, when I was reading the reviews of it, the biggest thing was that, like, they're like, yeah, she's as emotionally immature as he is emotionally mature. So basically they're on the same level.
I'm he's like, not emotionally not, mature.
No, exactly. Like, he's still a child. He's fucking 15.
Doesn't matter.
Like,
it does not matter. Men.
Like,
I would have preferred it if he wanted him to be 15 and he wanted her to be 25, make them very platonic, make it no romantic.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and they can learn from each other having that age gap as friends, like,
because the chemistry is there. There's so many. There are good things in there.
Yeah, there's like sweet moments.
But he chose to exploit it in this really gross way, and there were so many unnecessary moments.
Yes.
In the very beginning, when the photographer slaps her ass, like, what's that for?
They bring it up a little bit later whenever she's talking to that girl in the bathroom, like, oh, were you his whatever when you were working with him? Oh, yeah, I guess I am now. Something like that. That's some type of exchange. But that's really it. Like, it doesn't really go beyond that.
It didn't add to her story. It didn't add to anything. Also
like, sorry, go ahead.
I was just, the two sexual moments that I could have done without were her flashing him, completely unnecessary, completely weird.
Again, pedophilia. Sorry. I mean,
it would have.
How is that not? Like, if there was a scene of a guy flashing a girl who's a minor.
Yeah.
Be up in arms. Like, this is so bad. I don't understand.
And then the weird almost grope on the waterbeds after her motorcycle thing. Like, it would have been, that shot was so great of them with the hands. I liked that, but then he had to take it a step too far and like, I'm gonna grope her. No, I'm not.
I think they
kind of unnecessary.
Exactly. And I think they kind of like, well, see, he's a good guy. He's not gonna take advantage of her.
Which is even worse. Like,
that's how I read it. I read it as Paul Thomas Anderson saying, like, oh, but see, he's a good guy. He thought about it, but he didn't do it. So he's good. He's a good guy. What?
No.
No. And then no. The entire Asian storyline, like the, especially what's happening in the world right now, the last few years, the escalation in Asian hate crimes, what makes you think that putting that something this awfully racist into a film by, like, your name means something, Paul Thomas Anderson. People hear that name, yeah. They're like, he's a great filmmaker. I've seen great films from him. If I'm going to go to the movie, I'm going to go see that movie. And then you add that shit in there, which added nothing to the story, which it wasn't part of anybody's plot. It was, and that's what the guys in my theater were laughing their asses off. And I was like, no.
It wasn't even funny.
As soon as he opened his mouth and did that, I audibly gasped. My hand went to my mouth and I literally was like, am I walking out right now? And I thought about it, but I stayed.
That was the thing where I was like, this is not serving the plot. This is not serving anyone's character arc, character growth. Like, it literally could have been any other business. Or you could have just been like, yeah, he is like a businessman and he's cool with this guy. And I would have believed that. That's all you needed. And like, it was like, there was a million other ways that you could have done it. You could have had him like have really like his bad, bad, like Chinese, not an accent, just like trying to speak Chinese and failing. Like, that would have been enough.
Or her speaking to him in Chinese and then him completely saying the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
He did not have to put on the accent. He did not have to. It was just so beyond. It was
so cringy.
And that, like, what made it uncomfortable to me even more so is that those women looked so, like, trapped. Like, they didn't look like they wanted to be there.
They had no agency.
And I was like, is this a situation? Like,
also because, it just like,
made me so uncomfortable, the whole thing.
Because he has, like, one wife, and then all of a sudden, like, an hour later, he has a different wife. That doesn't look good. Like,
no.
That's not good.
No. I haven't looked at my notes yet. Oh, my God. Sorry. Went off.
Pop off. On, off, on.
I had no idea about the age gap. I saw the trailer, but I didn't know anything else about it. So, immediately, I'm like... So anything, if you know anything about me, is like when I don't like something, I have no problem dropping it like a hot potato. Like I have no problem like, nope, done. Mm-mm. And so the fact that this happened like three lines in, I was like, oh, great. I have 2 hours of this shit. So everything I was like trying to take in as calmly as possible. And then the racist scene happened. I was like, okay, all right. Test the Lord is testing me clearly, very much so. It was like, I'd really try to find things that I liked about it. I just couldn't put, and there were some things in Italy that I did like, but I just couldn't put the age difference, the pedophilia in the rear mirror. I just couldn't do it. It's just, it's not funny. It's not acceptable. Like, and what's worse is they keep bringing it up. Like Alana Haim is telling to her real life sister, by the way. Another band member of Haim. I'm telling her, like, do you think it's right to hang out with them? And she's like, no, I don't care, whatever. And she's like, I think it's weird. But then they don't go anywhere with it. And, like...
It would have been... I think, honestly, if they just had scrapped that and, like... Because from the trailer, it looks really adorable. And honestly, if I completely remove the age gap problem and the racist problem, it would have been an enjoyable movie. But, like, because you were so set on that, like, it's hard, like, every few minutes I would be like, oh, this is a cute scene. This could have been a cute scene, but, like,
it just... That's another thing, too. I hate rom-coms. This was even another thing I was like, oh, another thing I hate about this. This is not helping. Also, another thing, going back to the racist scene, a movie is made, it goes through so many different hands. You mean to tell me, like, several people saw that and went, yeah, all right, checks out. Check. Okay, next. What?
Also, because, like, there's some things that, like, if we're, quote-unquote, suspending disbelief, like, we know the 70s were bad. We know people are racist. We know, like, the photographer's going to be creepy towards the young girl. Just don't show it to us. Like, we know. Like, if you're not going to make a point of addressing it, then just ignore it altogether.
I feel like, okay, we want to show the photographer being creepy. Make him, like, stare after her. He doesn't have to slap her. He doesn't have to touch her. Also, the age gap, like Crystal was saying, if they would have just made him like 18, like he's just graduated, the entire movie would have been
way different.
A lot better.
Because the issue with him and his character is he's like, he was a successful child star, and now he's trying to transition into a more adult, more mature role. That would have been great if he had just graduated high school. That would have been such a good story, and then, great coming of age move. Like,
and she's having this quarter life crisis of he's so young, he's, you know,
he's successful, and like I have,
thank you.
Yeah, and I'm just working as like a photographer.
How is a 15-year-old starting all these business? I mean, I know his mom is helping him, but like, why is he running a business?
Great question.
Two businesses, like,
great question.
Who's babysitting him?
I guess his mom's signing up on the paperwork, because to like rent a space, you can't just like be like, I want this space, I'm renting it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's why I'm saying making him 18 would have made more sense, because those transactions would have been easier to. I mean, it was the 70s. I wasn't there. I don't know. But again, like Cooper Hoffman is like, I believe he's 18 or 19. He's relatively.
Yeah, I think he's 19. I think he's 19 or 20.
Make him 19. Alana Haim is 30. Keep her character 30. Like her name is already like, a lot on the movie. Why the fuck not make her the same age as her?
Yeah, because she looks young. Like, I didn't think she was 30. I thought she was 25, like they said in the movie. And like, he looks young, but not like. I mean, with costume and whatever, you can make anyone look any age. So, like, maybe that's part of his issue. Maybe he doesn't know how to dress an adult, so he's still dressing as a youth. So, like, he's trying to be trendy, but he's trying to be a businessman. He's trying to be adult, but he just got done being a kid. Wow, what a great film that would have been.
Yeah, just let me write stuff. Like, and then I think, is Paul Thomas Anderson actually good then? Because if this was considered one of his best works, then what? I feel so gross.
I wrote, I was like, I can appreciate this being a film about unexpected relationships and their lasting impact, because like that meet cute is exactly that. It was an adorable meet cute of them, like literally such a random encounter. Who would have thought that, you know, that friendship would last forever, you know?
Right.
The girl at the... She could have been taking his senior pictures when they met, you know?
Yeah.
Right before he graduated.
Also, was it in Alana Haim's contract to never wear a bra in the movie?
It was the 70s. They were all like, burn the bras.
I guess.
They could at least given her some like nipple Basties. Covers. Yeah.
So much running. I was like, are these people track stars or something? They're running so much.
I did like that portion of it, the like where they're always like running to like catch up, like running to find each other, like running to like their missed connection. Like I thought that was a really great like the tie through the mm-hmm. whole movie. I like metaphorically, I like that.
It's youthful, it's energizing,
it's
motivating. Gave it momentum.
Yes, literal momentum.
Especially, I thought it was such a sweet scene where he runs after her after she falls off the bike.
Because
everybody is looking at Sean Penn on the bike and is so enthralled with the whole setup. Which, I love that the guy's in a restaurant, he goes, yo, you, okay, now I'm going to go outside, I'm going to set this up. Like, I have all of these explosives and shit. Like,
I feel like LA is a different place. Like, LA is just kind of like, they're used to having to cater to these crazy-ass celebrities.
True.
Press. So I feel like that's just like land I don't know about. Like, oh, okay. We got another one. He wants some explosive. I think we got some from Left One for the Last Guy. You know, kind of weird LA something. I don't know. I don't live there. So back to I'm going to start with things that I like, which are not very many. But Cooper Hoffman is fantastic.
It's really nice to see
him act, and like every now and then I'd see a little bit of his dad, and it was really, really cool, and like really, it made me want to tear up a little bit. So to see him like do, it's such a natural. Oh, he's so great. He's so charismatic. This is his first movie. Bravo mm-hmm. to him. What an entrance into cinema. Like, it's so good. I thought he was fantastic. I cannot wait to see what he does next, because he was my favorite by far. Like, I think I was able to tolerate a lot of that because he was so good. He's just, precious, 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 precious. Alana Haim is fine. I think Alana, the character, is very annoying to me. But I guess that's on par with, like, not really knowing who you are and kind of figure yourself out and, you know, whatever. Although I did see a Letterboxd review that was like, Alana, what was her name? Alana Kane. Alana Kane has been interested in politics from a very young age. shout out to you, Letterboxd person. I forgot. I didn't write your name down. So yeah, I don't know of another movie in where both leads was it was their feature film debut. So that's really cool. There might have been someone back in the day, but I don't know. But yeah, I think the performances for me are what carried it for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think if they weren't, and they have genuine chemistry. And like when I say chemistry, I don't mean like romantic chemistry. I think you can have chemistry like
100%
with anybody.
Person to person, like friendship, like when two people can click together in any shape or form, I think that's really powerful. And you can't fake that. Mm-mm. So those two, they have it. So I feel like either they're really good friends or they get along really well or whatever the case is. But I feel like them two, if it wasn't there's that specific connection, whatever that is with Alana and Cooper Hoffman, it wouldn't have worked at all for me.
Mm-hmm. I think they were, yeah. I think they had like the best chemistry. I think like if like we said they had kept it really platonic, it would have been so pure and so cute and so like heartwarming. Like it would have been such a great film. I think Alana Haim is good. I think Cooper Hoffman's really great. I don't know why no one was talking about him for anything. I guess they were, but I hear more talk about her performance versus his performance, but I think he was really good too.
Because people couldn't stop staring at her nipples.
Gross. Speaking of which, like, side note, so many like movie reviewers are just like basic white dudes. I would love to see different perspectives, like different ethnicities, different ages, different
in the movie. Me too.
That too, but like as far as like reviewers go, because I feel like I hear from the same people, the same kind of person, the same perspective all the time.
That's why we're here.
So I would just love a little bit more, you know, perspective from other people, because especially with a lot of movies that are coming out now that don't all cater to the white male gaze, like it's nice to have a different perspective on things.
I am pretty baffled that this movie came out in 2021.
Right?
There's because of the things we've been talking about, it
feels like a 90s movie.
It doesn't feel like it should exist post Time's Up.
It kind of reminds me of when we rewatched, what was it, 16 Candles or something for the podcast? Hold up at all. And this felt very like John Hughes-y, like slapsticky.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it does feel very John Hughes-y now that you mention it.
Yeah. It has that charm.
Yeah.
But also doesn't age well.
No. It like within the minute it is released, it didn't age well.
Yikes.
They hit send and everyone's like, no.
No.
I refuse this.
Danger, danger. Stranger danger. Question. Have any of y'all ever slept on a waterbed before?
I've never slept on one, but I have like sat on one and like experienced.
It is very weird.
Oh, you did sleep on one?
I don't get why people think that's a cool thing to do. Like, even before I had back problems, I was like, this is very uncomfortable. I was like, this is so weird. I was just kept thinking of like water and like, what if I like need to pee? And like, it just, I couldn't, I don't know. I couldn't do it. So I was like, you know what? I'm good. Thank you. Anyways, yeah, the water beds are weird.
They are weird. I tried one out when I was like a kid, because one of my uncles, he had one in his house. And I was like, this is really strange. And then plus I was like, in my head, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to pop this and then I'm going to drown in this water.
How do you move it? Like, okay, I'm moving from one house to another.
It just like falls over.
I'm moving from one house to another. I have to drain how do you drain it?
I guess you do drain it.
I have no idea.
Because they were filling it up whenever they were at Bradley Cooper's house.
That I understand. How do you drain it? Do you get like a...
Dump it in your garden.
Well, it's got to maybe like a vacuum.
Like a nozzle. You know, I'm sure it has like, you know how like air mattresses have the little like screwy on the thingy?
You would unscrew it and get the water out. That I understand. But like, a hose. I guess you would need like some kind of hose to suck it out.
Or maybe just like wait 3 to 5 business days for a dog to get out. It's a long process.
So maybe that's why they're not a thing anymore, because they were just too much mess.
Not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I had another question. I lost what my question was. Oh, $40 for gas? Whew. Is that what they said, right? $40? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I think so. Ooh. I think that's what they said.
And but I was like, for the big truck. Hope it doesn't come to for real right now. Ooh.
I know we are going through quite a gas price hike right now.
Yeah. Oil people don't have enough money, so they want more.
That's funny. I thought it was a joke, so I rewinded it.
Wound.
Yeah. Rewound it. I've never said a word in my life.
Your mouth is like.
I played it back, and I was like, what is that? Oh, it's fiction. Please, it's fiction, right?
I guess I'll just like walk to work.
Girl.
Bike.
No more gas. Buy a bike. That's what it said.
I'm gonna learn how to bike.
Okay. Also, when this movie was being released, Bradley Cooper was greatly hyped for being in this film, and then the scene in the trailer of him like smashing all the things isn't even in the fucking movie.
That's what I thought. I was like, "Am I crazy? Did I miss something?" Because that's the scene I kept seeing over and over, and I was like, "Where is this scene?"
I thought he did great. I thought he brought a lot of levity to it. I thought like. Okay, he's a fun little addition. I love the fact that he was playing the guy who produced Barbara Streisand's A Star Is Born. I loved that little full circle moment. But ultimately, everyone's like, he's going to get a supporting actor nom. I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah.
Because it would have been he's Bradley Cooper. He gets a nomination. Yeah, I thought it was a fun little addition, but I didn't think it was as great as everyone kept saying it was.
It was not awards worthy, so I'm still, like, over here, like,
no.
You've literally seen, the critics have seen many Bradley Cooper performances. This is not one to award. Come on.
That was another one, I saw this on Twitter today, when Jessica Chastain won last night for
Critics' Choice Award.
For the Eyes of Tammy Faye, someone said, oh, so I guess we're, again, awarding the most acting and not the best acting.
Question. It's interesting to me that, well, it's not really a question, but it's interesting to me that the Critics' Choice Awards have all of a sudden so much levity when, like, the critics do not vote in the Academy at all.
I know.
It's very interesting to me, this conversation that's happening.
That was the whole conversation today on Twitter, and I was like, wait, they're not even...
Yeah,
they
don't even go here, okay?
A lot of what I was reading was people bitching about how they, you know, the people that should have won didn't because they're trying their best to match what the Oscars, they're trying to predict the Oscars.
Instead of, like, voting for the stuff they want.
Yeah, so everyone's like, the critics wanted Kristen Stewart to win. They've been wanting Kristen to win from the beginning of, since her movie was first released.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Jessica Chastain is winning everything, they flipped the switch because they wanted to match the Oscars.
I see.
That's what the uproar I was reading about.
Oh, just okay. Do your own thing. Like, who cares?
So
like,
what do you want to do?
It's literally the Critics' Choice Awards. It's not the Fellow Actors' Choice Awards. Like, it's not the SAGs. It's not the Oscars. Just fucking pick your own shit. Like, it's most of the time different. So, like, why bother? Right.
I do like that the Critics' Choice have, like, a Young Star Award and, like, they have a Casting Award. Because last year, my favorite with Alan Kim winning the Young Star Award, he was like, oh, I'm, like, pinching his cheeks because he couldn't relieve it. Oh.
I love him. Oh, sweet boy.
We love him on this, in this house. We love
Yes.
him. I thought, what's his name? Jude Hill?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did great.
Did he win?
Yeah, he won that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I didn't watch it but at all.
It was Cooper Hoffman. It was Rachel Zegler. It was the boy from Come On, Come On, which everyone says he should have won, but I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, he won the British, the one at the BAFTAs. BAFTA? The award
you
at the BAFTA.
You watched BAFTA at all either?
I didn't. I just looked up the list online.
I kind of followed it on Twitter, but not really.
Okay.
And there was someone else I'm forgetting, but everyone on Twitter was like, it shouldn't have been him. And everyone's like, quit shitting on a kid.
Literally.
Yeah, shit on the critics, not on the child.
Yeah, who voted for that? Weird. Literally not the child.
I don't know, if I think about it, Rachel Zegler did a good job, but I really enjoyed Cooper Hoffman, so that's hard.
Yeah, I would have been fine with either of them.
Yeah. Anyways, whatever. Any other lasting notes we have about this before we do categories? Oh, pinball machines were illegal in the first place? I didn't know that.
Pinball? What?
Pinball machines were illegal to begin with? I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I wonder why.
They were too violent.
Maybe it was a gambling thing where people
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You can gamble on pinball?
You can gamble on anything, babe.
You can put money down on whatever you want.
Yeah. Hello, chicken fights. Gambling.
Speaking of kind of gambling, is fantasy teams, are fantasy teams gambling?
That's a great question. I don't know, maybe because they're regulated through like an organization or something. Actually, I have no idea. I'm making this shit up. But
anyway, I was like,
damn, Crystal knows.
I made three fantasy F1 teams, and I put them into campaigns, and I'm excited to see how my outcomes go throughout the season.
Oh, my God.
I guess that is gambling. Oh, yeah, because they get a race.
Anna's such a jock now.
Ooh, look at her.
Get out of here.
I even paid for the F1 subscription, so I have like the app, and I get all of the videos with the live feeds and everything. Racing starts next weekend. I'm so stoked.
Oh my God, what a sports nerd.
Get out of here. Who
what
is
a jock.
What a jock. Oh my
Who would have thought? Anna, not of me. All people.
Good God, this is crazy.
One last note. I would love to see, I mean, and this has been our I feel like in general, our whole podcast, like, argument for the last however long we've had this podcast. But, like, can we have a movie where, like, people of color just vibe? Because, like, white people get movies where they just vibe all the time. So, like, can we just have that? Like, people of color just being normal, like, going about their day, just, like, running in the streets, I guess, or, like, I don't know, starting a business.
Well, you know, people of color weren't around then in the 70s. They didn't exist, remember?
They existed like in the background.
They were mail-ordered wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yep.
Because you know that's what they were. Those two women.
Or at least their implication was that, yes, that's what they were. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, anyways. Let's go through the nominations.
Another thing, too, sorry, before I finish. Like,
no.
Another thing that bothered me is, like, it was called Licorice Pizza, and there was none of that in the movie. They didn't even mention it. The term Licorice Pizza, it sounds disgusting. It makes sense, I guess, because the movie was gross. So then I guess it was.
Yeah, it was the vibe. The vibe was gross, so that's why it was named that.
Fair. Shameful. Shameful all the way around.
Oh, let me make my list while we do rankings.
So nominations. Original screenplay. What do we think?
No. hold on. I'm looking at the original screenplay.
Hold on. Let me look at the original screenplay.
Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, and The Worst Person. Worst Person to me.
Yeah, no.
No question.
Guys, I'm finally watching it tomorrow.
And now that I've seen all of them, definitely Worst Person, because Licorice Pizza can go to hell where it deserves to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't nominate Licorice Pizza or Don't Look Up. So that's two holes to fill.
Exactly.
Put in some more internet.
Shut up, Dory.
That's two spots to fill. How about we let them go to an international film?
Yes. Agreed.
My bad.
Agreed.
Directing.
No. Fuck him. He's gross.
Nice shot, but.
Like, stylistically, if I think of it stylistically, like, visually, it was stylistically interesting. But I also think that, like, I feel like directors of now are so obsessed with, like, ooh, I want to make, like, a nostalgia film. Because I feel like that's what, Tarantula Bitch, that movie he made with Quentin Tarantino.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I feel like that's what that was. It was just like, let me just like nostalgia vibes, and I'm gonna make
and
a movie.
Such
so
a
I can
for that period. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, literally. Ugh. What? Yeah. So I feel like this is that, but I can, but like visually, like I can see the director, you know, the hand of the director. I can see the whatever.
If I had to choose PTA getting one of those, I would pick directing over original screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, fine. Okay, fine.
And best picture.
No. Well, no.
I love how she had to think about it after all that.
There was parts that I liked about it, but I just think
I think there are other movies. The Worst Person in the World could have taken its spot.
Exactly. And it also deals with someone who is dealing with figuring themselves out and who they are and who they want to be and who they love. Much better executed.
Yeah.
Guys, I can't fucking wait to watch that tomorrow.
What the fuck ever.
So excited.
I'm excited for you.
I'm going to come home, eat some pizza, watch this movie. Fucking finally. God.
I almost had a pizza during watching Licorice Pizza. But I had no pizza in the movie. Like, not even one.
I didn't even finish my rewatch. I started and I was like, I can't do this. So I skipped around to certain again. Scenes to rewatch bits and pieces. And I was like, okay, I'm done.
I watched it and I'm really upset that I had to watch it. That's how, I hate harping on the same thing about the age difference, but it bothers me so much. And it bothered me so much. And I hear these well-respected people talking about this movie and not even really addressing that part of it makes me kind of crazy, and I don't like it. So I'm harping on the same thing over and over again, but I just can't.
And there's Joy belching.
I'm so sorry.
So can you wait till we're done for the episode, please? Jesus.
I tried to cover it, but
or move your mic or something, bitch.
How do I move my mic?
Okay, let's do some rankings.
Oh yeah, hold on. Let me get my.
I got my list.
Joy, go.
Oh my god. It's only because I was smart and I wrote it down on my laptop.
Yeah, you were smart this week.
I had it already written down, so all I'm doing is each one that we watch, I just add it in.
That's the whole point, Joy.
Yeah.
That's kind of I'm doing that now.
We've only been podcasting for about 5 years at this point.
I don't know how things work.
Yeah, we're aware.
Literally.
Okay. The bottom is Don't Look Up. Ops. And then the next one is Licorice Pizza. And then Belfast. And then King Richard, Drive My Car, Coda, and Dune. But honestly, Dune and Coda swip swap. That's fine. Drive My Car could even swip swap into there too.
Yeah. I feel you. Mine is pretty similar. I started at the bottom with Don't Look Up. And I did really go back and forth on where to put Belfast and Licorice Pizza. I ended up going Belfast 6, Licorice Pizza 5, because for me, the chemistry of them two, I felt like made it a little bit more enjoyable than Belfast for me. And then I have King Richard, and then third, Dune, second, Coda, first, Drive My Car, but I'll repeat myself till I'm blue in the face. Dune satisfies another one part of my movie loving heart, and the other two satisfy the other part, and they go either way. I don't care. But those are my top three.
Yeah, I think all of our top threes can be interchangeable more or less. And mine's pretty similar.
At least up to now.
I'm at the bottom is Don't Look Up. Then I have Licorice Pizza, Belfast, King Richard, Drive My Car, Dune and Coda. So it could be either way of those.
I love that we're saying that all three of them interchangeable, but we each have a different iteration of those top three.
Mine changes every time.
I love it.
I love it. This week, our faves are all different, but still the same.
Right.
But exactly the same.
Yeah. We're nothing if not predictable.
And also not, who knows?
Yeah, next week it could be completely different.
You right, girl.
Set up, you know.
Hold on to your butts.
Butt holds.
She literally held her butt. Hold it. I almost said holding her butt.
I did hold in my butt.
She holded her butt. Okay, guys. We'll be back in a few days to talk about the next movie. So
have hold your butt.
Bye.
Bye.